Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Today, I want to go to the first passage that we're going to read is in John chapter 20. This is where Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. It says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she went over and looked at the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been." Everybody shout there with me, "had been." One more time. Why? "Had been." That's good news. He's gone. One was at the head and the other at the feet. And pardon me for a second. When I read this and I think, if it's me and I walk in and I see two angels, how many of y'all know that's just pretty freaky, okay? Didn't have anything to do with my sermon. I just wanted to let you know that had to be a real kicker, man. You look in there. And then they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they put him." And at this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. Think about this right now. She's crying because she can't see Jesus. Jesus is standing over her shoulders, and she doesn't know it. She didn't realize it. I'll tell you, many times we don't realize that Jesus is right there beside us in our trouble, in our pain, in our trials, whatever we're going through. He's just right there. He's like a ring camera. If you do it, they're going to see it. Come on, somebody, right? You know? Aren't you glad you dated before there were ring cameras? Come on, old people. You know what I'm saying right now? You can't kiss anybody. Dad's watching, you know? God sees it. He's right there. And she didn't realize it. And so heaven's masterpiece is right there, and he doesn't realize it. Jesus certainly is heaven's masterpiece. He's the glory of the Father. He didn't have to come here. He didn't have to die. But he chose to because he loves you that much. That's why it keeps saying, he would die for you. I would die for you. I would die for you. Not only I would die for you, he did die for not a world. He died for you. Take it personal. A moment ago, I was preaching at one of our churches at Earth City, and all the people there, all the stage, by the way, it's amazing because at all these churches, at Ferguson, Weldon, Royal Palm, Florida, everybody had the same thing. All the multiple Jesuses and multiple Roman soldiers and all these things that are going on. There's a lot going on. And you know, the one person I couldn't keep my eyes off at church a while ago was the one that I made. My daughter, she was singing. And when I look at her, I look at the whole crowd and I go, "I love everybody, but I just want to let you guys know, I'm not going to die for you." I know that's a heart wrencher for you, but that girl, that's mine. How many of you got kids? Raise your hand if you've got kids, okay? How many of you got more than one kid? How many of you got three kids? How many of you got one of those three you'd give away? Come on, raise your hand. Okay, we always got the one, right? But you know what it's like as a parent? You love them so much. You die. I got a 4-month-old grandson, and I looked at, I didn't know him 6 months ago. He's a year now. Yeah, I did know him a year. Time flies. And my wife's probably like, "You have a 4-month-old grandson." I went to homeschool. I'm not good with math at all. But I didn't know him 2 years ago. But I look at him, and I would literally die for him. What causes that? There's some kind of love that takes over. And God loved you so much. Heaven's masterpiece decides to come down to this crazy world just to die for you. And here's the kicker, guys. If, I don't know if Nicole would do it again, if she'd marry me again. But she did. And I got a contract that says she did. But I hope she would. But I'm telling you, I promise you, Jesus, he'd do it again. If he has the same scenario, and you're the only person, listen to me, Fairview, you're the only person in the world. He's going to go carry that cross, be beaten, suffer, and not only die physically. I mean, that's a real challenge and horrible. We don't make light of that. But there was something more than that. God had never been separated from his son. The son had never been separated from love. And he comes down here, and now he hangs on a cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because really what happened is now, he doesn't feel God at all. He's rejected by God. That was worse than the physical pain. And then he goes down to hell for you and I. Never sinned, but went to hell. How many of y'all were pretty good sinners? Raise your hand if you're a pretty good sinner. But don't be ashamed of it. Just raise your hand. The devil lost a good man when I got saved. Your kids do stuff now, and you're like, that's not new. I invented that sin, okay? Look it up, okay? Google it. Okay, so we're pretty proficient at sinning, but Jesus never sinned, but he became sin. The whole sin age comes on Christ the Messiah, God's masterpiece. And then he says to you, you're my masterpiece. And you must be for him to die for you. Jesus calls us his masterpiece. We see this in Ephesians 2, verse 10. At all the churches today on the screen, it'll say this. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us in Christ Jesus. We're God's masterpiece. Just because you don't feel like a masterpiece doesn't mean you're not a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece when you wake up and your hair is crazy. I want to try it over here. You're a masterpiece when your hair... I woke up this morning. Yeah, I took a shower for a lot of reasons. He doesn't love you because of what you do. He just loves you because of who you are. He said, you are my masterpiece. Go ahead, give it up for God today. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, look at this. It says, if anyone be in Christ, and that's the prayer we prayed a while ago, he's a new creation. Something new started happening on the inside of you. And then he said in Psalms 139, he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, if you're a masterpiece, you might feel like your canvas is damaged, faded. Because of the addiction, because of the abuse, because of the molestation, because of the loss, because of the rejection. But hear me tell you, you are still priceless. You are treasured. You are valued. But there's a little voice inside our head oftentimes that tries to convince us that we are no good, that we did wrong. But you must be a masterpiece because the master made you. You have a thumbprint, guys, just so you know. You have an original thumbprint. And if you do the crime, most likely you're going to be doing the time. Because how in the world? Think about all the thousands of people that are here today, just in this room, and thousands at the other campuses. And how did God pull that off to make everybody's thumbprint different? Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, you must be somebody. Come on, somebody. You're a somebody. You're a somebody right now. But how is this? You are a masterpiece. You're an original. So if you were born an original, don't die a copy. A few years ago, we got to go to Paris, and we went there. And there in Paris, you'll see a couple masterpieces. Number one, the girl right there in front of the Louvre. That's our little daughter right there. And then there's the masterpiece, my wife, Nicole. And if you see her standing in front of the Mona Lisa, there's a glass bulletproof case around this priceless painting. They say it's estimated that it's $850 million. And when Da Vinci painted this, he didn't know that they would need to protect it. And by the way, you can buy them on Amazon. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but just go on Amazon and get one. You can have one at your house. But the interesting thing about getting it on Amazon is that you can get it for $100, maybe $14.90. But what if you brought somebody over and go, hey, you won't believe what I got in my house. It's a knockoff. It's not real. But here's the kicker about you. You're not a knockoff. You're an original, so don't die a copy. God loves you. You're a masterpiece created in his image to do good works. I'm telling you, he loves you. He is crazy about you. He went public with it. Now, we need through water baptism next week, next Sunday, to get water baptized. Because when we go down in that water, we're identifying with his death. When we come up, we're identifying with his resurrection. And then we walk in a newness of life. That's next week. Some of you might think, man, this church thing is like every week. Yeah, it's every week. It's like, when do you graduate? You don't, okay? It's priceless. You can also tell the value of something by where you keep the location of it. I have a few little things that my dad has given me, and they're so valuable because he's not here anymore. Can't get another one. He wore that. So I don't just throw it in the attic, or I don't know where it's at. So where you place it. I'm telling you, where you place God, if you consider him valuable, and you do, then you must realize that he valued you, and you got to make sure you place God and church in the middle of your life. It makes a big difference. And then I want to talk to you for a second about protecting your heart. I saw on TikTok or something where these people came in and they started throwing at that bulletproof glass, that the protesters came in and they were sabotaging it, throwing paint on it, and they were cussing and screaming. And when I saw it, I thought I had to tell you and show you this is exactly why you have to protect your heart, because people throw accusations at you and they throw fear at you and obstacles at you and temptation at you and problems and things you never saw coming. And the devil tries to get you to doubt in the dark what God said to you. In the light, you are God's masterpiece. I know it's hard to believe. You are God's masterpiece, created to do good works. Now, we got to stop this little voice in our head that always tells you never, you always, and if you had none, if dad had to do this, and mom had to done this, and blah, 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 and you're never, ever complete. Because the devil, and I want to talk about the devil. I know it's Easter Sunday, but let's talk about it for a second. How many of you believe in the devil? Raise your hand if you believe in the devil. Okay, almost everybody. Some people say, I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that. If I was the devil, I would try to convince you that the devil wasn't real. Okay, so the devil, the enemy, tags in with that negative thing that triggers you through the pain, the heartache, the hell, whatever you went through, and you get triggered, and now the enemy gets in with the inner me and self-sabotages, and now the only way we can fix this thing is I need my whatever it is. I need to click on this website. I need to take this pill. I need to eat this edible. I need to drink this stuff. I'm here to tell you right now that you are not doing anything except damaging or throwing debris at yourself, and it doesn't get better that way. It gets bitter that way. But when you go to church, I say, man, well, you must be in the church business. As a matter of fact, I am. I've given my life, and my family's given their life. A lot of venues we were in, a lot of things we could do, and then we decided the most valuable thing that we could do with our life is use the gift to communicate to you that the devil hates you and that God loves you, and God has plans for you, and they're to prosper you and your family, student. Come on, somebody. Everybody, everywhere needs to understand. God's not done with you. The enemy is trying to stop you, stall you, wreck you, and God is saying, I've died for you. Now live for me. Live for me. Give him praise in the house of God today. You think about the Mona Lisa, I checked it out, and because it has wear on it and troubles on it and problems and time, they've had to redo it. It's been redone seven times. Seven times it's been done. Now, here's what's interesting, is Da Vinci is dead and gone, so he can't come fix it. But people come, masterful artists come, and they service it. Why do I tell you that? Because you're only as sick as your secrets, and I have found that God uses people to help people get better. By that, I mean a community. Today, think about all the churches at Weldon and Royal Palm and Ferguson and Florida and Fairview and online, and all of us together today hearing the same words, singing the same songs, giving praise to God. That does something to every fiber in your being. It allows God to go in and start opening you up, and now you can go to your spouse and say, I was sorry, I'm wrong. And if you both win the church, the person doesn't go, yeah, you sure are sorry. You're going, no, this is a step in the right direction. You're only as sick as your secrets. So when you get together at a church and you say, I'm not just going on Christmas, I'm not just going on Easter, I'm going to start, it's for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And the world's pretty dark out there. There's some bad things going on out there. But the hope of the world is found at the local church. The local church is the heartbeat of God. The local church is where you're healed. The local church is where you're established. The local church is where kids aren't confused about who they are or where they are going. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. But when you get damaged, you can think that you're not ever going to be valuable. Nicole was speaking in Las Vegas at an event, and I went with her, and the guy who was driving us was telling us the story as we passed the Wynn Hotel where Mr. Wynn lived, and I at the top of the hotel, and I'd heard a story by Joel Osteen, my friend, who actually went to the hotel and met with him because at the top floor it's got all this priceless artwork where this casino owner lives, and he had this painting, this Picasso painting that was worth $139 million. That's a lot of money, isn't it? And he's got some problems with his eyes, and he's pretty much blind. and they took it down to sell it. When they did, his elbow moved, and he kind of fell, and his elbow went through the painting. How many of y'all hate it when that happens? What? What in the world? But he didn't disregard it. He didn't say, it's worthless. I made an accident. It's not going to ever work out. Instead, they called, I didn't know this, but there are surgeons for priceless paintings. And a surgeon came in and surgically fixed it. And when they were done, it was so good. It's damaged. You think it's over. I ruined this painting. But when the surgeon, a type of the Holy Spirit in your life, got a hold of it, it made it better. And instead of selling it for $139 million, they sold it for $155 million. So the damage didn't make it worth less. It just gave it a story. And now it became more valuable. Now let me pause the sermon and tell you this. I don't like hearing preachers that tell you all about kids and how to raise kids, and you ask them how many kids they have, and they don't have a kid. I knew everything about raising kids. I knew I'd go to Fridays in South County. I'd go over there, and kids would go crazy. And I thought, you know, when I have a kid, you know what I ain't going to do? And then I had a kid, and they act like the demon. They're screaming, and you can't do anything about it. You can't. What, are you going to kill them? You can't do anything about this. So me and Nicole decided not to write a book about kids until our kids were grown. And then our kids got grown, and we realized they're still kind of messed up. Let's not write a book just yet. Let somebody write some memoirs about us when we gone. And then the preacher that knows everything about marriage, and I do this in marriage, and here's how you treat a woman, and a woman ought to submit, and blah, 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 blah. And then you ask, how long you been married? And he said, I ain't never been married. I like somebody who's been through something. I can tell you about what it feels like to be betrayed because I've been betrayed by my own mother. I haven't seen her in 21 years when I started this church. I know what it's like to lose your dad. I'm 55. He died at 56 at St. Anthony's Hospital. The pain of that, wondering what in the world's like. Why did this happen? I know what it's like to be divorced, living in a basement apartment and lose everything. I don't know if you've heard of the new divorce Barbie, but it comes with all kin stuff. And I was broke and divorced and in a basement and thought I'd never live again and never love again. But thank God it wasn't over. The story is not done until the master puts down his paintbrush. And God started painting my life again. And Nicole walked in and she had a 7-year-old boy who's 35 preaching in Florida today. Don't you tell me what God's not going to do. I'm telling you, he's able to work all things together for the good of those that love him and that are called according to his purpose. Somebody ought to give God praise today in his house. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, I pray right now that you move in and out every aisle, up and down every row, online. Touch people where they're hurting. God, today I've done my best to try to talk them out of what the devil talked them into and let them know that they're heaven's masterpiece. Just because they're damaged doesn't mean they've lost their value. God, we know in Isaiah 53, it says that you were despised, rejected. We saw it today. Pierced in your side and your head for our mental anguish. And by your stripes, we're healed. God, I pray right now for strength to move in and out of every church today and for you to touch them in the area where they hurt the most. Give them hope. Let them know that the rest of their life can be the best of their life. And it doesn't have to be a tombstone. It could be a stepping stone. God, touch them right now. I feel the presence and the power of God moving through that camera into your life. I say that you're healed, blessed, strong, courageous, more than a conqueror through him that loved you, that you're loved, you're valuable, you're healed. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give God praise today in his house. So good.